Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
Does not tithe. He said, I have been disobedient. He said, I have got in sin. And he said, because of that, the Lord had to use my son-in-law to bring all this to light and even expose my sin as a pastor. He said, because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. And he said, I'm the one that's responsible for letting his wife get in the position it is. And he said, you may ask, why did I take him and put him in a position and leave him there for that long in him not being obedient to the word of God? He said, do you know he has a lot of influence in this city? And he does. He said, a lot of people have come to this church and they were in there because of his influence, because of the city. He said, another thing, he said, all of that's wrong. He said, it was wrong for me to put all of that in his influence. It's another thing, he said, he's well known and a man of notoriety. He said, if I throwed him out of the church, he said, I was thinking about the consequences of him going around and telling somebody that I threw him out of the church, and then our church would have been talked bad about throughout the community. And he said, that's wrong. He said, I shouldn't have done that. He said, I should have put God's word ahead of him and his position, and I didn't. He said, so I'm wrong. And he said, another thing is, he said, he's a good manager and an organizer. He said, you notice our Sunday school is the largest it's ever been, and it was. And he said, because he knows how to organize things, get things in place, get the teachers all set up, get all the materials and get all the children, have the program set up, because he's good at that. And he said, I didn't want to lose that. And he said, knowing him, because he's a pretty, authoritative kind of man. He said, I knew if I went to him, it would offend him. He said, but now the Holy Ghost has offended us all and got us straightened out. What I mean is straightened us out. And he said, I'm wrong. Well, the people were shocked after they heard the whole story. See, a lot of times people don't know the whole story. They know a half-truth. And they go off and run, why'd pastor do so-and-so to so-and-so? You don't know the whole story. You don't know the thing behind the scene that pastor knows that he can't tell nobody because of confidentiality that's going on. Because if you know, there's such a thing as confidentiality, and you can't tell everything you know. And sometimes you just have to kind of bite your tongue and go on, and people are thinking one thing, and that's not the way it is at all. So don't prejudge things. And so when it all came to light, there was a better understanding, and I felt better. But the atmosphere was still tight. My dad-in-law had his notes, and he used them that morning. My God. And he just worked right through one to the other. And I mean, he preached about 15 minutes, which is a miracle for my dad-in-law. He could preach flat-footed in 2 hours and never miss a beat, jump, hop, shout, jump the altar bench, run on top of it, run down through the pews. He's Pentecostal. My God. You know what I mean? He'd just go for it. Shout, run through the audience, run through the top pews, laying hands on people's heads. I mean, that's the way you do. And that day he preached 15 minutes. He's hoping we'd all get out alive, he told me later, because it was tight. He said that was a hard atmosphere because it was still on there because some people just didn't still understand, And some of them didn't even believe in paying tithes and giving tithes anyway, like a lot of people today, because they don't even read the Bible and believe it. But while we were sitting there, as soon as the church was over, I thought, there's no other way out. Except right through this auditorium. So I'm going to the key lady in the church. She leads the prayer group and everything else. She had prayed for me many a day and helped me a whole lot and had a whole lot of wisdom. She was one of the elders ladies in the church, and a lot of the younger ladies come to her, looked up to her. She knew the Holy Ghost and knew God. Because I knew whatever way she went, whatever side she fell on, that's the way I'm going. If she says, slay him, Lord, then they all going to... They're all going to slay me, and I'm never going to get out of the life. And if she says, spare him, they're not going to spare me. So as soon as I find it, I might as well just go straight to her and get this thing over with. So as soon as my dad-in-law said amen, he didn't even have an altar call that morning. I mean, it was just, that's how it was. He normally did. He come down the end of the service, said amen. Well, I just got right up off the mourner's bench. I didn't mourn long enough, And she sat right there on the third bench. There was two rows of pews, and I just went straight there to her. And she had a pillow she sat on, a big soft pillow. It was cushioned pews like this, but she always brought her a pillow about 3 inches thick, And you could call her, I'm not knocking her, but you could call her Sister Broadbottom. You know what I mean? She had eaten plenty of chicken legs in her life, and I'm not knocking her. She had a lot to love, you could say. You know, she's a lovely lady. And she had hugged me and squeezed me many times. And so she had an extra padding, and everybody knew that was her seat, and you dare not sit in it. If you're a church member, you might not come out alive. I mean, that's just the way it went. And so she had then got up and turned around and had her back to me. She was going to reach down and get her pillow because she took it and put it in a rocker and sat on her front porch, and she rocked with that same pillow. It had already got positioned, just it fit her. You know what I mean? You can, should I describe more? But anyway, it fit everything that she had. And she took it home with her and then bring it back to church, you know. And she'd wash it every now and then and make it look a little better. So I'm standing there. So finally she straightened back up, you know, and she turned around. And when she turned around, I was standing right there looking at her. And of course, I was breathing kind of hard and heavy, and I didn't say a word. She pointed her finger at me. She said, Sonny, she said, when you said, and everybody stopped, waiting for her to kill me. Everybody, you could just see it because I'm looking at peripheral vision. My daddy-in-law standing over here. My wife standing over here. All the church members are looking around. Everybody, all conversation stops. And you could hear it. It's quiet as a pin. Dropping, you know. She said, Sonny, when you said what you said, she said, I was going to skin you alive because I just knew that you missed it. She said, but within 2 or 3 minutes, the Lord spoke to me and gave me a scripture at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Says, them that sin, rebuke before all that others may fear. Don't know how you done it, Sonny, but you got it right this time. My God, you heard the Holy Ghost. I'm proud of you. You got it right. I was so relieved. I said, I'm going to get a chicken leg today. My God, I'll get one and get out of here alive. Well, I shook people's hands, you know, and I was apologizing, you know, not for what the Lord said, but I didn't mean to let them know. I didn't mean to purposely do that. And then after the service, everybody's gone. My daddy-in-law was there. Normally somebody else locked up for him, you know. But we stayed and just done that because he wanted to talk to me, you know. So my wife and my mother-in-law and myself were standing there before Randall, our son, was born. So he's not around. And we're standing there talking. And he said, well, what do you think, son? He said, what do you think we need to do? I said, well, you're the pastor. I said, I'll do what you're telling me to do. He said, well, he said, I think we need to go to his house and we need to talk to him. And he said, I know you probably don't want to. He said, but we need to go. I said, no, sir. I said, I'll do it. I said, me and you'll go. He said, he told my mother-in-law, Miss Mary, and then my wife, Patty, said, y'all go on to the house, because normally we'd go out to eat or something, you know. He said, y'all go on to the house. And he said, when we get through at Brother Tom's, which wasn't far from the church, less about a mile, said, we'll come by there. So we went to Brother Tom's house, had a nice brick home and everything, and there, not far from the church, and a man well-known in the community. And we pulled up in the driveway. My dad-in-law had one of these big old Buicks, you know. I had to get up out of that thing, and I walked up to the door, and, of course, he's there with me, and I knocked on the door when nobody came. And you could see the curtain kind of pull back, and you could tell somebody was looking out, and, you know, every now and then. And I told my dad-in-law, I said, what do you want to do? He said, I don't think we ought to leave until he comes out. So he just spoke and said, Brother Tom, he said, this is Pastor Thornton. He said, I want to talk to you. He said, my son-in-law wants to talk to you before we leave. Please open the door and talk to us. So he finally came and he unlocked the door and he opened it and he looked at me like he was thinking to kill me. I didn't know. He was a pretty big fella, you know, and I thought he'd just knock me out and be over with. And so I looked at him and I said, cuz, good time to be cuz, you know. I said, cuz, I said, you know that I wouldn't have purposely done that. He said, you embarrass me. He said, you embarrass my family. He said, you know how many people in that church in there that are under my supervision in this city? I said, sir, I said, you know that. I don't know that I know that. But he was just adamant, you know. And I said, well, Brother Tom, I said, I'm here out of respect for my daddy-in-law, out of respect for God, and out of respect for you and Miss Linda. I said, the reason this happened, if you'll just hear me out, I said, I come to the end of the song, and I said, you was walking into the back door like you always do. You was sitting down with Miss Linda, your wife, my cousin, of course, and I asked the Lord, and this compassion rose up in my heart. I said, Lord, why can't we help Miss Linda? I was thinking about how many times we'd prayed, how many times we'd fasted, everything that we'd done, and I said, the Lord just said to me in my spirit, the reason that you can't help Miss Linda is because Brother Tom won't pay his tithes and he's got the door open to the devil and his family. And I said, before I realized it, And I said, hindsight better than foresight. Maybe I shouldn't have said it. I said, but it was almost like I had to. And I said, it was God trying to rescue Miss Linda. He said, well, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. I'm never coming back to that church. I can tell you that right now. And Pastor Thornton, of course, my dad-in-law spoke up. We don't want you to feel like that, Brother Tom. You know, my son-in-law didn't mean it. And of course, Brother Tom, he said, I have to go ahead and admit to you that I've sinned. He said, the Lord told me quite some time ago to take you out of position because my son-in-law didn't know that you didn't pay tithes and that you've never paid tithes. Oh, boy, he went ballistic then on my dad-in-law. And he said, I should have asked you to step down a lot sooner. None of this stuff would have happened. And your wife wouldn't be in the position it is. And I have to repent against to God and repent to you for not trying to correct you sooner. But I respected your position. I respected you as a person. And I didn't want your influence to be, you know, leave our church because I appreciated everything you ever done. And Brother Tom said, well, I still don't agree with it. I still don't see the purpose in it. Still don't see the sense in it. But we talked long enough that he kind of calmed down. And he said, we wish you'd reconsider about coming back to church. You know, he said, I'm not coming back. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, he didn't come back to church the next Sunday. He didn't come back to church the next Sunday. And the next Sunday, a Saturday, prior to the third Sunday, my dad-in-law called me. He said, where are you at? He called me on my cell phone. I said, I'm over here by the house. He said, come quick. I said, what is it? He said, Tom's house is burning to the ground. Let's go over and see if we can help him. So we went, and when we got there, of course, the fire department was there, and it had burned to the ground. Not one stick of wood was standing. Only the brick was still in place. Every piece of clothes, every personal item was gone from that house. The fire was so hot that it melted the air conditioner condenser that sat outside and all the metal. I mean, destroyed it. It's a puddle of metal. That's all it was. Men, you might know what I'm talking about. It's melted down.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.